simple, short message with you. Amen. And the title of the message is Why You Should Be Anointed. Why you should be anointed. Hallelujah. I basically want to talk about some of the effects of the anointing. Amen. But I also want you to understand, because often when we say anointing, we often think that it is something for preachers and pastors and churches and prophets and people like that. And therefore, since you're not planning to be a pastor or a prophet or a teacher or a preacher for that matter, you don't need to be anointed. So it's a subject for people in that arena. But I want to show you that that is not the case. Amen. That the anointing of God is necessary for regular daily living. Amen. So let's share a word of prayer and we'll continue. Father, we thank you so much for today and thank you for another opportunity to share the word. I pray for your blessing upon the service. Holy Spirit, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that for me? Powerful. Thank you. So, let's start from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Is everybody okay? Is everybody awake? You know, I sat on the plane and I didn't know what happened. Then I woke up somewhere in the middle of the flight to see the man next to me. He was also gone. Then we eventually landed. As soon as we landed and the plane parked at the gate, then the man turned and asked me, "Did you have a good sleep?" So I asked him, "What do you think?" Then he said, "Me too, me too." I said, "I know." He was gone, I tell you. But God is good. Amen. Amen. All right, that was just so you find Zechariah. Have you found it now? Yeah. All right. Is there, Pastor Mary, what happened to your verses? All right. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So, number one, you must be anointed because no one can fulfill their purpose and their mission by natural might only. Do you understand? Natural might or human power only. Hallelujah. Now, you say that, but what about those people who have worked very hard to achieve so many things, etc.? I have two answers to that question. One of them is that, first of all, many things are still possible. You see, anything that you can do, most things you can do, let's say, with some power. They can also be done manually. See, let's say you want to screw something into a wall. Do you see? There is the old manual way of doing it, which is you get the screw, you put it against the wall, then you start. And you start to turn it. And if we give you sufficient time and power and food, do you see, you're going to be able to get that screw to enter the wall eventually. But there's the other guy who comes with what they call a power tool, with the same mission, except that he's approaching it with extra help. Do you see what I'm saying? So he takes on the same task and he applies himself plus the power in the tool behind that same screw that you needed time, food, and breaks, all kinds of things to do. And then he applies the power tool to it and then it's done. And then he's going to the next one. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So the anointing is like a power tool. You see, when you say that no one can fulfill his life's call or vocation or mission, you know, with manual power alone, what you mean is not that it's impossible. Do you see what I'm saying? But a certain level of success, do you see, is not possible quickly without the extra power that comes from somewhere else, the extra power that complements your personal effort that you put in. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get the second answer to the question. I think I'll give it to you later because of time. I don't think it helps my message anyway, in any way or much. Hallelujah. But then, I'm trying to help you to understand that you need the extra power. Do you get it? The verse we read said he, and maybe let's read the verse before that. You know, let's read the verse before that. It says, then the angel that talked with me answered and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The next verse. Where's the next verse? Who art thou? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, crying, grace, grace unto it. Hallelujah. He says, who are you, O great mountain? Because you will find that commonly in life, when you try to do something, you come across obstacles. Another word for obstacles is a mountain. Do you understand? Something that takes a lot of effort to be able to climb over, if you'll be able to climb it at all. Hallelujah. Right. Then he's saying that before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain. And this verse is following the one that we read before. The one that we read before, verse 6, do you see, has given Zerubbabel a secret. You see, and he's saying that this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, it's not by might or not. It says not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Do you see? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Then in the next verse, he begins to address the mountain and says, who are you, mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you become like a plain. Do you understand? So it's like I've just given Zerubbabel a secret to overcoming you. And so really, even though you look like a mountain, Zerubbabel has something he's bringing to fight you, which will make you like a plane compared to what he has. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you this morning? Try to understand me. Amen. You know, so I want you to see that the Bible says that it is not by power or by might, but by the Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you were to add the Spirit, the extra power to the efforts you're making to do anything, do you understand? The effort you are making in your life, the effort you are making in your business, the effort you are making, you know, in anything you are doing, if you were to add the power dimension to it, if there was an anointing that was being brought to bear on what you are doing, it would be like applying a power tool to a job that you're doing. Hallelujah. Amen. And you will introduce a force that will be very, very hard for some of the things that have resisted you to resist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because when people are using a power tool, there is very little. You see, when you are screwing the thing in and you're just turning it and turning it, sometimes you hit a place where it's like you have to bring two hands to turn the thing. And then at a point it starts to hurt your hand, isn't it? Yeah. But when you use a power tool, you sometimes are not even aware that you just went over an obstacle. Because when you apply this, and the thing is just gone. And it just, you even find out that you made a mistake. You put it in the wrong place. Sometimes you leave mistakes to be because of what it would take to undo and redo. Do you see what I'm saying? The other day I traveled to a certain country, and then someone had built a house there, and he wanted me to come and see the house he had built. So I followed him to the house. When I got there, I said, "Oh." But I couldn't say it to him. Because that was his house that he was very proud of. You see? But the guy had made the wall. And the whole house, you know, the wall was like that. You know? And the whole thing was... Then there was one particular area. It was so obvious. I mean, so obviously bad. I asked the guy, "But why did you let the guy do this?" Then he said, "You know, to change this, we have to break this and break this and break this." So I just left it. And sometimes that's how life is. You know that what the way things are is not the way it's supposed to be. But what changing it means is what you can't handle. So you just leave it as it is. Are you getting what I'm saying? But when you have a power tool, people who have power tools when they are working, like Pastor Munene, he uses a lot of power when he's working. You get it? So redoing things, not a problem. Because the same power you apply to the screw, the way it went in, you just switch a button like this, you say, "Come out." Then you put it in. You see the screw just coming in, just... balance, it just comes right out. Then you take it where you want it to be and put it and apply the same power. You see, mind you, it's still you doing the thing, because the power tools don't work themselves. If you leave the power tool in the garage untouched, it will just be where it is. That's how the anointing is. If you leave it untouched, if you don't apply it, you don't use it, it will just be where it is as though it doesn't exist. And if you have a power tool and you leave it and you choose to take the manual one because you feel that it's too much to go and get this power tool and get a cable. Because sometimes the reason why many of us don't use the anointing is that the things you need to do to be anointed and to stay anointed, you are feeling too lazy to do them. So it's a lot easier to take the manual screwdriver and then go. I do that sometimes because I also have a power thing. But when I even think of where it is, it's a lot easier for me to just go and pick one of these manual screwdrivers and then I go to the place and I start. And it's not a problem when it's just a small job. like I'm just switching plates on my car. It's not a problem. But when you start to do something that is serious, and anything that requires energy and effort, and anything that is supposed to make any big difference to your life, you realize that the manual way does not cut it. The manual way is going to take a long time. That's if you even survive it, because at the point you might even give up. And it's not like you took on the wrong project, but you just took on the wrong approach to the right project. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so you quit in the middle of it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Whether the project is a marriage, I mean, marriage, you need a lot of power. You need a power tool. You see the thing? To keep going for some time. You get it? Because, like I was sharing with some people yesterday, see, sometimes the way people change, do you understand? When you look at who you married and compare him to who went home with you, or who has come or is living with you, it looks like the one who came to the wedding was a temp from an agency. And the one who is staying with you is now the permanent one that you've got. I got it right. Yeah. You just wonder what happened to the temp. Is this the same person? Do you understand? I tell you, and when you start to handle some of these things with manual power, at a point, you see, it makes even your palm hard. The thing you're dealing with is actually rubbing really hard on you and turning you into someone you are not. Do you understand? You are becoming callous. You are losing some of your sensitivity. You are not smiling anymore. You are not nice anymore. You don't trust people anymore. You don't believe anything anymore. And it's all because of the way you have applied yourself to a very difficult task that should not be done manually. Is my message making just... I just need small sense, that's all. If you say a lot, I think it's more than enough. Amen. Amen. But you need power. I tell you, you need power. Anything you know to do, anything you've been advised to do, they said, do it this way, it will work. It's not that the advice is bad, but it's not just that advice. It's that advice plus power. If you can use that advice, just like they say, put the screw here. Great. You can put the screw there. You are doing the right thing. But doing the right thing can sometimes be painful. But if you do the right thing and apply some power behind it, you will realize that your results will come, and they come quicker. You even enjoy it. Sometimes you're even looking for more places to put the screw because you enjoy the way the power, and then she's working, and just working. He says, is there any more? Hallelujah. Amen. When you get to the place where you taste the difference the anointing makes in your life, you'd rather be calling for challenges. Wow. Yeah, you'd be saying, bring them on. Because you have found a way. Hallelujah. So you see, in the verses, he went to Zerubbabel and he said, this is the word of the Lord to you, Zerubbabel. This is what God is telling you. That it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit. Do you understand? It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my spirit. Then after that, he goes to Zerubbabel's opponent, which is the mountain. And he says, who art thou, O mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become like a plane. Because I've told Zerubbabel something about how to handle you that you don't know. You try him. Before Zerubbabel, you will become like a plane. So I don't know what challenge is before you today as you sit here. But I can tell you that if you will begin to introduce the power dimension to whatever challenge that is before you, you will begin to see what a difference it's going to make in your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So the anointing is not just for preaching. Preaching is one of the things that you would use the anointing to do. But when you need just your regular living, you also need anointing. Are you getting what I'm saying? You need to be anointed for daily living. You need to be anointed as you work your job. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is number one. Number two, I'm giving you some reasons why you need to be anointed before I show you some of the things that the anointing does. See, number two is that even Jesus Christ waited to be anointed before he started his ministry. Do you see? Luke chapter 3 and from verse 21. Luke chapter 3 from verse 21, 22, 23. Then, no, that's not it. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Okay, now this is the event that marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Up until this place, he was still Jesus Christ, but he wasn't doing anything in the open. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he waited, and then the anointing came upon him. And from this time onward, when you go home, you can read your Bible, you'll see that from this time onward, in chapter 4, etc., you see him going to places to preach, and the miracles begin, teachings begin, so many different things begin after he has been anointed. The Bible says, and you know, look at that, it says, when he was praying, the heavens opened. Do you see? And then when the heavens opened, the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Something came from the heavens unto him to help him to do what he was going to do here on earth. Hallelujah. Number three, you must be anointed because even the apostles were asked to wait for the Holy Spirit before beginning their ministry. The Holy Spirit is the anointing. Do you understand? So who is this Holy Spirit, or this Spirit as he's referred to in the very first one, that everybody seems to be waiting for before they work? It says in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, and being assembled, Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. So don't leave Jerusalem. Wait, just stay here. Don't be in a hurry to start preaching. Do you understand? Because Jesus knew what a difference it will make. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus knew what a difference it will make. It's like someone getting ready, and the person is saying that, look, since we have a lot of work to do, since we have a lot of screws to put into this wall, you know, we better get started. You know, and someone who knows there's a power tool on his way says, no, wait, don't start. Don't wait for the power tool to come. They are bringing something. Magdalene is, that you call Magdalene. And Magdalene, where are you? And she says, I'm now leaving my house. You are still not moved. It's like, it's not even going to happen now. But because you know that when the power tool eventually arrives, even if it's in the afternoon, you who started doing this manual thing in the morning, you still will not catch up. It's still more advantageous to wait. See, these people were beginning. Jesus had told them, you are going to be preaching. He says they must go into all the world. In Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Then he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, if you've been given such an assignment, the first thing you start to ask, where do I begin and when do I begin? Wait is not what you want to hear. Because the work is a lot. All the world, and you are a grown up, almost retired already. Hallelujah. So Jesus said unto them, oh no, this is the Matthew 1, but go back to the Acts 1. So he said for them to wait. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry at all. You just wait, because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Hallelujah. That's the promise of the Father. So when you jump to verse 8, he says to them in verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, he's worth waiting for. Are you getting what I'm saying? He is worth waiting for. Don't start. I know I gave you the assignment and I know it's a lot. And I can imagine how you're in a hurry to get started. Because when you have a lot to do, you want to get started. Now. But he said, don't worry. The guy with the power tool is coming. His name is Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Holy Ghost. He is coming with power. And when he comes, he will give you the power and you will be my witnesses in both. He says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It's a lot of work. It's worth waiting for the power too. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. He's worth waiting for. So it's worth getting anointed. It's worth getting interested in the anointing. It is worth getting interested in how to be anointed. You should be asking me after church today, because I'm not going to get to it. So you need to come for extra classes. But you should be asking me after church today, how can I get this anointing? Because you need it. You need it, I tell you. You need it. You need it. These people were going to preach, and Jesus said, wait for the anointing. And you are being deceived because you think you're not a preacher, and so you don't need the anointing. But I tell you that the anointing is needed. You wait till I show you some one or two other verses. Amen. Amen. All right, next one. You must be anointed because great prophets like Elisha asked for the anointing when given the opportunity to ask what they wanted. It's like, ask for anything. And they asked for the anointing. So then this anointing must be very important. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Hallelujah. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you see, he didn't tell him to ask for anything in particular. Because you get it. He didn't ask him to ask for anything in particular. He just said, ask, I'm about to go. You see, I'm about to go. And I have things. I have furniture and so on and so forth. Like sometimes when you're relocating, then you call your friends together and you tell them, look, come and choose what you want before I call the other people. You call the best friend to come first. You see, he should take what before you announce it to the rest. do you understand? So he comes in and he comes to take, maybe he wants the TV, the flat screen. He's been eyeing it for some time. You get it? So he comes, takes the TV, takes the couch and everything. Then the rest of the people are told that you are moving. Come. When they come, there's nothing there. Because best friend has passed through. Hallelujah. So Elijah was asking, I want you to notice really that this particular question or this particular offer is not with reference to anything in particular. It's not with reference to an anointing. It's not with reference to anything in the church. He said, you ask what I shall do. What do you want me to do for you? He's not even asking, what do you want me to give to you? He says, what do you want me to do for you before I'm taken away from thee? Because the things I give to you, you can still have them when I'm taken from you. But the things I do for you, you can only have them while I'm with you. Do you see the difference? So he's saying that I want to do something for you. Ask what you want. Maybe you want me to speak to the president for you, I'll do that. You want me to do this for you, I'll do that. But just ask what I shall do. And then Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. That's what I want. I want a double portion of the anointing that is upon you to be upon me. Imagine it. If you were on your way home today, you have the opportunity, maybe an angel or, God, or you heard a voice in your car, ask what I shall do for you. If God was to, or you had a dream that the Lord was asking you to ask what I shall do for you, what are you going to ask for? Let my school loans vanish. Disappear. Do you see? Yeah. Obtain my green card into citizenship. Do you see? Or give me this or that. Do you understand? You can even point to someone and say, let her love me. Me. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you see, this man, when he had the opportunity, he said, all I want, I don't want anything. I don't want your car. I don't want your chariot. I don't want your house. I don't want your bank account. Just toss me your PIN number. That's what somebody would have asked. Ask what I shall do for you. Me? Ask what you just toss me your PIN number and your Visa card. That's all I need. You just give it to me. No. He said, I just want something spiritual. Double portion of your spirit. Because working with you, I've come to understand that the secret behind your success and the secret behind the things you do is a certain power that has come to make so many impossible things possible. Do you understand? Because this fellow had been working with him. They had come to a place, I think it was the Jordan, and how to go across was a problem. Do you see? Yeah. And he had watched how this guy had worked different miracles and done so many things to make impossible things possible. And so when he was asked to ask, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. See, and smart people know that it doesn't, or when you have some of these opportunities, it is not a physical thing you should be asking for. See, another guy is Solomon. When the Lord came to him and said that, ask what you want. And then he says to the Lord, I just want wisdom. I want something spiritual. Do you understand? I want an anointing that makes me wise. That is all. Because you find that most of the things we seek are actually very easy to have once the anointing is in place. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So, if this person has such a wild opportunity and he turns it into a request for the anointing, then the anointing must be very important. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand it, if you don't know what the anointing is, you just look at what people are doing with it and how people are relating with it and why people are choosing it. And you also choose it. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And we do that all the time. Sometimes you are even driving and you see that all the traffic seems to be moving this way. You don't know why. You just join them. Because you start to think all these people can be crazy. You just start to go. You don't know exactly why. But you have already joined the line and positioned yourself to benefit from whatever they are trying to get away from or get to. Amen. So I'm saying that even if you don't understand the anointing, I've given you three or four examples where people are choosing. Jesus is waiting for the anointing before he starts. He's advising the disciples to wait before they start. Someone has the opportunity to ask anything he wants. He says, I want the anointing. Then there must be something about the anointing which we must choose. Do you understand? Let's choose the anointing. We'll discover whatever it has to offer later. Hallelujah. But I bet that it is a good thing, and that is why these people wanted it. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Number five, very quickly, you must be anointed because King Saul was not transformed into another man until he was anointed. King Saul was not transformed into another man until he was anointed. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. First Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Can you see that?
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it looks like the anointing, when it comes on people, turns them also into different people. It will change them so much that they can only be described as another man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you see that perhaps some of the things we are struggling with, do you understand? Because some of us don't even like ourselves. We the way we are, we don't like it. And we know we need to change. Or something needs to change about us. And soon, sometimes good things come your way, but the way you are drives them away from you. Do you see what I'm saying? And you know that you need to be changed into another man. You need to be changed and turned into another man. You need to be changed into another woman. You need to be changed into another lady. You need to be changed into another person altogether. Well, he said that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and that will turn you into another man. Hallelujah. So if you will go after the anointing, perhaps when he comes upon you, he will turn you into another man. He will turn you into somebody you yourself will not recognize. Hallelujah. See, when I was in the meeting recently, I heard someone got up and spoke, and I'm a very reserved person. I tend not to go out of myself, you know. She was explaining something. I forget exactly what it was. But anyway, then there was another person who said, because of this experience that I had as a young person, you see, I don't trust people. You see, I can't trust people. She said, I can't trust people. Good. But when you grow up, or as you're growing up, you realize that you need to trust somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? So I'm trying to say that when you are a certain way, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are the right way. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just that's how you are. But that doesn't mean that's how to be. You see, and it costs you something to be that way. And all the things that are not happening in your life, because you are that way, you are losing out on all those things because that's the way you are. But the problem is that you don't know how to be the other way. Do you understand? Because really, you didn't just become this way. Something happened and made you or shaped you up into this mode. But you can't free yourself. And that's what Paul said in the book of Romans. He said, what is wrong with me? The good that I want to do, I don't do it. Rather, I find myself doing the thing I don't want to do. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this? Who is going to help me? Because sometimes you know the difference clearly. Just because someone is doing something doesn't mean they don't know it's wrong. It's just that they can't help it. Yeah. They wish they could do something else, but they can't do it. But you need to apply a power tool to that one. Amen. And that power tool is the Holy Spirit. When he comes upon you, the Bible says you will be turned into another man. You will not recognize yourself. I dare you to allow and begin to pursue the anointing, the Holy Spirit. You will not recognize yourself. You will not recognize yourself. The things you will say, the change in your character, the change in your personality, your responses, even you will recognize. Sometimes some situation will happen and you say, hey, is this me? Some time ago, you couldn't say such a thing and pass. Fire will come from my mouth right now. And you just wonder what happened to the fire. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will be turned into another person altogether. How many want the anointing? Amen. I need the anointing, I tell you. Let me just quickly give you, because I have seven of them, and it's time to close. So number six, you must be anointed because King David, the anointed psalmist and writer of the scripture, he ascribed all his blessings to the holy anointing. David's ascribed all his blessings to the anointing. Hallelujah. He realized that everything I have has come from the anointing. And that is why when in Psalm 51 and verse 11, you hear David crying because he had committed a sin and he had realized that what he did was wrong. Do you see? So this is where he tells the Lord, cast me not away from thy presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. I beg you. I know I've done wrong. Do you understand? But don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. It's like borrowing somebody's power tool and then offending the person. You know the natural thing that's coming your way is that he's coming for his thing. But you know that the job is not done. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, the job is not done. You still need the tool. And even you know that for what you have done against him, you don't deserve to be using his tool. And the first thing he will take away from you is his tool. So then at that point, you go to him with your apology. You get it? And while you leave him to consider whether he's going to forgive you or not, you tell him in the meantime, I beg you, please let me still have the power tool. Do you understand? I still need this power tool. Please don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Do you understand that? Yeah. Anything you want to do, just do it. I know I'm wrong. But I beg you, I need this Holy Spirit. Don't take the Holy Spirit from me. I'll do anything you want. Anything you want. Do you understand? You just, please, leave this tool for me. The issue will come and settle it later. Do you understand? But don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. Amen. Then this Holy Spirit must be very important. Are you getting what I'm saying? I say you don't even have to know him, but you just see how people are behaving with him. And if you are smart, you also say, I want some. Hallelujah. Then the last one, the anointing is essential because Moses refused to continue the ministry without it. Moses refused to continue the ministry without it. Exodus chapter 33, verse 15 to 19. Exodus chapter 33 from verse 15. Hallelujah. Exodus 33 and from verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Do you get it? If your presence is not... You know, Pastor Benina, do you have another version without the hence? Okay. If you have a version without the hence, so that I can just... He said, and he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Moses was leading the people of Israel to the promised land, and there had been some situation, etc. And Moses said, Lord, you know something? If your presence, if your spirit, if your anointing is not coming with us, don't send us there. Do you understand? We are not going without your spirit. We are guaranteed to fail without your spirit. So if your spirit is not coming, we beg you, just leave it here. And then the next verse, verse 16. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Which means it is by your spirit. Do you get it? And then he says, Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth? It is by what? By the anointing. It's by your presence. That's why he said, if you are not coming, we are not going. Lord, we are not quarreling with you. It's not a problem, but if you want us to go over there, you need to come along. We need your spirit to be with us. Then he said, for what? He said, how else will the people know that we are associated with you? It is by your spirit that there comes a distinction between us and all other people. Sometimes the reason why your Christian life and an unbeliever's life doesn't seem to be very far apart is because the spirit level in yours is too low. Do you understand? So it's by your spirit that we are able to make this distinction. Amen. It's by your spirit that we are distinguished from all other people who are doing the same thing. I tell you that if his spirit comes upon you, you will be distinguished from all other people who are doing the same thing you are doing. Hallelujah. And then the next verse, verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. And verse 18, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. Verse 19, and he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Hallelujah. So you can see, Moses is also saying that I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this without your spirit. Hallelujah. I want you to determine to come to a place in your life where you decide, Lord, I don't want to do anything without your spirit. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I'm not going to work without your spirit. I don't want to go out there without your spirit. I don't want to attempt this without the anointing. I don't want to try it without the... If this thing is... It's like somebody says, climb on top of the hotel to do something. The question you ask them first is there a ladder or is there a lift or anything that's going to take me up there? And they say, no, there's nothing like that. You just don't take on the project at all. Yeah, because when you look at the project, you know, this one, I'm now going to be, you know, climbing windows and struggling. No, it's too much. No lift, No roof repair, period. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You must come to that place where you understand your dependence on the Holy Spirit and be determined not to go forward without Him. Amen.
Amen.
How many want the Holy Spirit? Stand to your feet and let's pray. The Bible says if we pray to the Lord, He will give us His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He says, you being evil, Pastor Munene, give us that verse. It says, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. How much more will the Father which is in heaven give the Holy Spirit to the people who ask Him day and night for it? Hallelujah. So I want you to ask. He says, if ye then, being evil, can you give us maybe verse 10? Verse 10. If ye ask a fish, or should we just then read that whole part? If which of you, if your son, maybe verse 8 or something like that, or you know, verse 8, for everyone, it's all right, let's just read. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Isn't it? Verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone? Hallelujah. If his son ask bread will give him a stone. Ha! Have I ever given you a stone? For bread. You went downstairs and for breakfast there was a stone with an omelette. Hallelujah. He said, or if he ask a fish, then he gives him a serpent. Do you understand? Then he said, huh, if you, being bad boys and girls, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Hallelujah. How much more will your Father which is in heaven give good things? You know, there's another one that has the Holy Spirit. You give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. You know, hallelujah. But I want you to know that it is your Father's wish that you have the Holy Spirit. God wants you to have the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be anointed. God wants you to live under the anointing. Hallelujah. This is the one. Is that Matthew chapter 11? Luke chapter 11. Okay. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Wow! Wow! I mean, you just learned about something so good and just discovered that actually God wants you to have it. Isn't that a blessing? So I want you to pray this morning. Make a genuine prayer. You say, Lord, I'm not even sure if I understand the Holy Spirit properly, but I see that people choose Him and it makes a difference in their lives. So I want to choose the Holy Spirit also this morning in the name of Jesus. Bow your heads with me and just begin to pray. Everybody, just begin to pray and say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. I want your Spirit. I want your Spirit. I want your Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. I want you to anoint me. I want you to anoint me, Lord. Fill my life with your anointing. Fill my life with your anointing. I want the Holy Spirit to be part of my decision taking. You need to make anointed decisions. And make anointed choices in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Just say, Lord, I want your spirit. I need your spirit to guide me. To guide me. To guide me all the time. To guide me all the time. In the name of Jesus. Give me your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Blessed Comfort, Counselor, and Intercessor, you are our helper. You are our helper and our advocate. And our advocate, strengthen us. And our standby. Sing it again, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Blessed come. Blessed Comforter. Counselor. And Intercessor. You are our helper. You are our helper and our advocate. Strengthen us and our standby. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Spirit, be anointed with the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your blessing today, and thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit be released upon us afresh. May we receive a renewing of our minds, a renewing of our hearts, a renewing of our lives, and a renewing of our experience, entire experience with you by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is it a blessing? Hallelujah. How many are